We're in the book of Deuteronomy today, Deuteronomy chapter 1, if you'll take your Bibles and turn there. I enjoy this church, needless to say. We have roots to many of your lives, and you're to us, and it's good to see so many folks outside the windows tonight. I was feeling very poorly for those people, badly, that they're out there. And then I went by and saw the lady with the concession. She's serving popcorn right now and root beer. And so they really have the prime spots out there. Hot chocolate, is that what you have out there, hot chocolate tonight outside? They're saying yes, I guess. So appreciate you folks sitting outside and over here on this balcony side and over here throughout the house. We certainly love this church. You've been so good to us. My goodness, pastor's conference 2 years ago, I think you had over 100 delegates out of this church there. And you've given us so many students through the years. And by the way, I would suggest, I kind of know, and I might just want to tell you about a good college I know of that you may want to consider to attend. It's called Pacific Baptist College. And don't feel like you're giving something up by staying here. This is a great place. And to be here witnessing a building project like this. I've been so excited about the building. Of course, I've been part of it with your lives for so many years, and the big rise up and build and all that you're doing. I could hardly wait to get here today. And I landed, and Pastor drove me by here, and we walked through the building, and it's quite frankly very moving. Brother Bobby, you have some of those pictures, of course, you drew in the past. They're beautiful. And to me, I think you just may have one of the most beautiful church buildings in America. I like this room here. I'm sitting here thinking, I wish I had the money to come in here and just, when you're out of here, when you're over there, wouldn't it be fun to remodel this thing here? This is, and it's beautiful the way it is, but it's just, there's no auditorium like this around. And this entire property, you've always kept it immaculate, but that building over there, you know, if you're not careful, you're going to miss these days. We built a building like this in 1981. It's your building, almost exact same size. We had a theme, rise up and build. I thought I was going to build it in 1 year, and it took 2 years to build it exactly. And we thought it cost X amount of money, and it cost double that. Thank God you have a smarter pastor than I do. But we built that building. We didn't have money to hire it done. I thought we'd build a lot of buildings after that, 30 years ago, and we have. We've built a huge auditorium and a huge gymnasium and two-story dining hall and a couple dorms, and we've built a three-story built all those since then. But we did not build them. In my ministry of 37 years, we only got one time to build as a church. And it was that building that we built in 1981, 82, 83. Every building since has been built by companies. I never thought it'd be that way. Most of the buildings, it became bigger than what we were. And you may be building, if this building next door comes available. Now, we've done a lot of remodel. But you're building something right now, and you may not pass that way again or for a long time. I don't know another church in California building. There may be, but I don't know of one. I don't know anybody in the country, really, that's building right now. Folks are trying to close things down and slow things down, and 47 churches in America will close their doors this week. And 1,500 preachers will resign the ministry this week. 1,500 every week this year. All denominations, but they'll quit. And you're building. And you've opened the doors and the windows, and you got people outside. It's a wonderful time. We're building our building. It was an unusual time. I said, now, men and women, it's going to take all of our resources. And we sold everything. I mean, we sold cars and folks had boats, and one guy had a Corvette, and one guy had a Porsche, and I could tell you stories all night long. We sold everything we could to build that building, get into it, and I said, now, church, you ladies, I don't want to have any divorces the next 2 years. I was so serious. And we did not. We didn't have any problems with our membership. But I said, I'm going to have your men work around the clock. They'd come from their work on Monday night, and they would change at the church into work clothes, and we'd start to work. About an hour later, the children and the wives would come. We'd take about 15 minutes and 20 minutes, 30 minutes at the most, and eat together. The women would clean up and take the children back home, and the men would keep working. That's where the big famous thing in our church, if you ever had a gathering, someone would say, 2 minutes! And I started that years ago. Fellows would sit down and start eating. I said, 2 minutes, fellows, we're going to get after again. About 2 minutes later, I said, 2 minutes again. But we did that Monday night, every Monday night for 2 years, every Tuesday night. Wednesday night was church. And if we had failed an inspection on Wednesday, or if we had one on Thursday that we had to get finished, the men always knew every Wednesday, bring your work clothes. We'd kiss our families goodbye. They'd go home. We'd change our clothes. We'd hook the lights up and work Wednesday night. We did not work Thursday. Thursday night was soul winning. And I said, fellas, we need one time a week as a church family to go. We went Thursday night. Friday night, we had work night. Not too many men came, but we always worked. Saturday, for 2 years, and I would not suggest you do that. We just had to. We had not one parking stall. Church was growing already and bursting at the seams. I said, fellas, we'll run the buses on Sunday, but I'm going to have to ask the ladies to do the bus route. And on Saturday, we'd work all day right up to men's prayer. But you know, little did I know, Pastor, that was the last building we'd build like that. Every other building has been built for us, and we've had to pay for contractors to do it. You're at a special time. Would you please enjoy it? Amen. Just enjoy it and keep giving. I believe August 28th is the church anniversary, right? You'll be 25 years old. I'm going to pray specifically that on that date you'll get in. I know it's not possible financially, all that. I know there's delays. But would you pray with me that August 28th? We're going to celebrate that day together. That's my birth date, August 28th. And so I will remember to pray for you. I can't believe I'm going to be, your church will be 25 and I'll be 27. Now that hurt, folks. You're my friends. Thanks a lot. But I wish I could express, I'm so proud of this church. You're a wonderful pastor. And I thank God for them, your wonderful church and all that you're doing. And I could go on and on. I appreciate you. May the Holy Spirit of God convey to you how grateful I am and how thankful I am. Your zeal is going to provoke very many. You know, I'll say this and I'll get to preaching. I think God did that in our church 31 years ago. I'd been there about 6 years, I guess. I think God did that to increase my faith and my people, their faith. But I also believe God did that so that our faith could provoke other churches. Amen. I know tens of millions of dollars have been raised in other churches because of those 2 years. And now it's your turn. And now it's the testimony of this great church that's going to be used. I think you ought to put it in a pamphlet or a booklet or some form that God can and God has. You're going to see a great missionary display tonight with the Sloans, and I just had the privilege to see it last week. They're great missionaries. We appreciate you. And the Vongs were with us last week, and Tyler's getting baptized tonight. Is that right? I'm so proud of that. And all those boys, and they gave me a picture of last week. They were at our conference. We're trying to wonder if we should take the Vongs on for support. Would they be a worthy candidate? You think? I'm not too sure about the wife. Are you? I mean, I'm not. Oh, Sister Needy. I think she's the A-plus out of the unit right there. Tell our guys in the college, an A-plus should date an A-plus. Here's a good example of an A-plus dating never mind. An A-plus, dating an A-plus. You're wonderful. God bless you. And outside, I don't know how many are there, but there's scores of people I see. I would estimate somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 people out there tonight. And it's great. Could you keep giving, please? I know May is always the big month, but please keep giving. Figure out what you have to do. Figure out what you have to do to sacrifice. And that's almost disrespectful to say that to you, because you do sacrifice. But don't be weary in well-doing. I have so many people through the years that they've had to pay for, they'd rather pay for a church than pay for the rehab their kids are going through. And we've had so many turn out for God, but there's been some sorrows too along the way. Our courtroom expense, our divorce proceedings. Thank God this will unify you right now better than ever. Our Father, I love these people. I think they know it. And I pray that you would unite our hearts as one tonight. I think of what is needed for that building out there financially. You've done so many wonderful things for the church. And if there's someone tonight in the sound of my voice, may they be used to give the rest of the remaining money what's needed to get it all completed, all of the building, not just the auditorium, and not just the nurseries, and not the classrooms and offices, but all of it, the gym, everything. And at one day have one huge dedication. And I pray that you would bless the church. Then, as this building is completed, Lord, I pray that you'd place in the pastor's heart what should be next on the ministry here and what they should accomplish for thee. We realize that this may be the day of your coming, but we also realize that, Lord, you could tarry. Well, regardless of what happens, I pray that we would be sold out to thee. Bless our dear pastor, his precious wife, a wonderful family, these dear people, these dear friends. Bless our time together around the precious word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Deuteronomy is written as Moses is now preparing to die. As he prepares to die, he says, let me just preach one last message. I like his message. Hi, folks from Oregon City. God bless you all over there. But as he preaches his last message, I like his message because it proves that Moses was a Baptist. 34 chapters of preaching. It's sort of like when Paul says, and finally. He doesn't mean finally. He means just a couple more chapters would be finally, I guess. When a preacher says, in conclusion. That's why you ought to be very excited tonight, because I have a flight to catch. But I've timed this. I've done it for years like this. I've timed it down. One time they barely held the door for me. And so I can preach a little bit longer than I think I need to here. But we'll see. My dad says, son, if you don't strike oil in 20 minutes, quit boring. By the way, Sister Mallory, where'd you go? She just sang for us right there. I was preaching out of town this week in another city in California. There's a man that's interested in you. Do you know that, Mallory? I think I need to, where's your mom and dad? Where are they sitting at over here? Where are they at here? Are they in here tonight? Right over here. Well, Dad, I know you know about it because, well, you're going to be at the wedding next week, but I'm excited about it. And I just don't know if you want that last name, McGillicuddy. I'm not sure that's what you want, but I'll talk to you about the fella if you want. You can go with us to the airport, and I'll tell you all about this guy. You know, he's a handsome fella. He really is, church. You don't know him, but I mean, a guy brought your name up quite length to me, and the guy's handsome. He's good looking. And if this church could go together and buy him a set of teeth, he'd be a real good looking guy. I mean, he's, oh, Sister Mallory. Here we go. We're ready. These be the words which Moses spake to all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea. I want you to pay careful attention to verse 2. There are, what's the next two words, class? There are, you fill in the blank. There are, try it one more time like Independent Baptist. Ready? There are 11 days. from Horeb, by the way, of Mount Seir to the Kadesh Barnea. God said, the promised land is just 11 days away. August 28th is like just 11 days away when you stop and think of it. It's not very far. It's going to be here before you know it. 2 million Jews were 11 days journey away from the promised land. But notice what it says, how long it took them to get there. And it came to pass in the, what's those two words, class? Let's say that like Independent Baptist. And it came to pass in the?
40 years.
How many days were they away?
11
days. How long did it take them?
40
years. 40 years for 11 days. Why in the world would it take 40 years for 11 days? Unbelief. God says, I cannot bless you because of unbelief. God gave me my message, and I know our theme. I know our theme for our church for next year. I'm so fired up about it. Our men, we've met. We've had several meetings over the last couple months, excited about what God's going to do. And God gave me this past week my message for January the 6th, Sunday night. And I'll tell you what, I'm so fired up about preaching it. But here's the thought. I won't give you my message. I won't tell you what it is. But I will say this. God, we limit God always because of unbelief. God wants to do exceeding, abundant, abundantly above all that we even ask or think. This is a nice little junior church building you're building. You say, well, where would we put the main auditorium next? And it's not a junior church building now. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's a beautiful, huge, mammoth thing. But that probably won't be your final building. You say, well, when do we rest? When you die. Not now, friend. This is not resting time. We've got 7 billion people on planet Earth, the vast majority spending eternity in a lake of fire. This is not resting time. You say, well, when can we recover? Wait a minute. The truth of the matter is, generally, whatever we give, God gives back within the next year so we can give again and give more. God won't be held hostage to us. And I believe as we watch the children of Israel, God had such blessing for them. God had such victory for them. God had a promised land for them. They were just 11 days away. You can, from 2 million Jews, you could almost see the land. There it was. And they said, we just won't go in yet. Yeah. And they wandered for 40 years. Their kids, their children, their grandchildren could have seen some great things, but they wandered. They wandered because they squandered those 40 years. Notice what the Bible says. And on this side, verse 5, Jordan in the land of Moab began Moses to declare the law, saying, the Lord our God spake to us in Horeb, that's back there in verse number 2, saying, ye have dwelt, there's two more words, class, what are they? Long enough in this mountain. I'm coming to you tonight, not necessarily on the behalf of your building. I'm coming to you on behalf of 2013. It's around the corner. I'm so personally fired up about the year. I've been asking God and begging God, give me vision for my own personal life. Give me vision how to read and study my Bible this year. I always have a plan how I'm starting off in January to read my Bible. I always plan to read my Bible in the first 20-something days of the year, Genesis to Revelation, and then I come back and I begin to have certain ways I want to study the Bible. Say, Lord, give me vision toward how to study my Bible next year. I want renewed vision to memorize my Bible next year. I want renewed vision in my prayer life next year. I want renewed vision in my soul winning next year. I want renewed vision in my marriage next year. December 23rd, we'll be married 40 years. Guess what? It's not over. We're at the best moment of our marriage right now. But I'm praying and begging God that our next year will even be better yet. Oh, I tell you what, I'm thinking of our church. And I thank God for all he's done in these 37 years. But 2013 is going to be the best year we've ever had enjoyed. Friend, you're going to have to prepare for 2013. Now, I know Jesus may come before then. But we ought to do our very best to live as if he's coming today and plan like he may not come for another 100 years. And put our house in order and figure out where we're going. Where are you going in 2013? What are you doing in 2013? If the economy here has been like the economy in our place, we've had over 80 people lose their houses. Now, I'll tell you what, I've watched people that have lost their house one by one by one. Instead of moving, they stayed. And one by one by one, they went to beautiful homes, to rental properties. And one by one by one, they have regrouped. One man came up to me last week and said, guess what, Pastor? We lost all that. We lost this and we lost that. But next month, I make my final payment. We're back to square one. Amen. That encouraged me. A man in my church that lost everything said to me, guess what? We got our credit score back. We purchased a house, and my little family, we're moving into that house just a few blocks from the church because I want my kids to be raised right here. Amen. We lose something. We lose a car. We lose a house. We lose some finances. Regroup. Amen. Figure out what God has for you to do, and then go do it, and do it with all your might. And friend, in 2013, though God's given you this victory and this victory, what about 2013? What does God want for your life? What does God want for your marriage? What does God want in our walk with him? We've dwelt long enough. I come to you not with a deep message tonight. I come to you with two words, long enough. It's not a big old fancy outline because there is none. When we leave out of here in the next 4 hours or whatever it is when we leave, a few minutes when we leave, I want you to consider tonight when you pillow your head, long enough. It's been long enough. What's been long enough in your life that needs to change? It's beginning now as we head toward 2013. And what's been long enough? How about our Bible reading? Has it been long enough that we've not read the Bible? I don't know the exact statistic, but I've been told that the vast majority of Christians will get saved and live and die and never have read through this Bible one time. It takes 66 hours to read the Bible. The average home has the television on 11 hours a day. If the Bible were being read in the home, that means every 6 days the Bible could be read in our home. I'm not suggesting you play the Bible 11 hours a day or the television hours 11 hours a day. I am suggesting, are there not 66 hours in a year's time where we can read from Genesis to Revelation? It's been long enough that we've not read our Bible. It's been long enough we've not had a daily devotion, personal time, a walk with God where God meets with us and we meet with God. It's been long enough. It's been long. My Bible time kept me in Bible college. 1969, I can recall in Bible college, and I was so determined I was going to leave and go join the Marines and go to Vietnam with my buddies. Most of my buddies were there, and I purposed to go, and I didn't like Bible college anyway. And that day, I decided I'm getting out of here. I said, I've stayed. My dad wanted me to stay, and I stayed the year, and I'm in this year now. And I said, I really want to go be a Marine. And I went to my music theory class, and after that class, I got back to my dormitory for an hour as I had every day a personal walk with God. And I opened my Bible that day, and I said, Lord, this is the day I'm going to leave and go and get out of this college, and I'm going to go join the Marine Corps. And I'll never forget, I was reading my Bible sincerely in Jeremiah 12, verse 5, and if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And I wrote in that Bible that my sister gave me when I went to Bible college, if I cannot make it in Bible college, I am not going to make it in the Marine Corps. Oh, amen. I didn't want to stay, but I said, God, I must stay because this is your will for my life. Little did I know that God was going to start to put my life together and reveal some things to me in my own life. And in just a short time, God was going to bring my wife to me. And in just a short time after there, a couple of years, we're going to marry. And God was going to call us into the ministry, the work of God, all because God's word, a walk with God. Perhaps it's been long enough you've not had a walk with God. Perhaps it's been long enough that we've not had a prayer time with God. I don't know how you pray, but I have a prayer journal. I don't write my prayers out, but I have all my requests and pages and pages and pages. I'm looking at some prayer requests that I've had. I watched God not long ago answer a prayer request that was impossible. It was totally impossible. With man, it wasn't possible. It could not happen. And I'd been praying, and I'd prayed for a week, and I'd prayed for a month, and I prayed for a year, and I prayed for a couple years. And I prayed, and God answered that prayer. Amen. I don't understand all about prayer. I don't understand how some get answered just like this. And so I don't understand that. And I prayed, oh God, please give us a radio program. 15 minutes a day is all I'm asking God. Please give us a radio program that I could fellowship with my people and speak to my people and preach to my people. God, 15 minutes a day, Monday through Friday. And I prayed a week, and I prayed a month, and I prayed a year, and I prayed 5 years, and I prayed 10 years, and I prayed 15 years, and I prayed 20 years, and I prayed 25 years, and I prayed 30 years. And on the 31st year, without making a phone call, without asking anybody, God gave me a 15-minute radio broadcast on day one without making a call, 90 stations. I don't understand why it took 31 years, but God had a plan. I'm suggesting tonight, it's been long enough we've not prayed. This church has all these precious little boys and girls. What a sight to see them here. They need prayer. Mama, thank God for the books you can read on child rearing, and thank God for the book you can read on child rearing. But God wants your prayers for those children. God wants your prayers, Daddy, for those children. Miss Treber and I have 9 grandchildren. I bring those names before the throne of grace. God, I pray, oh dear God, not only protect them physically, but protect them that they all in time will marry right and have good marriages and clean lives. And may they all be saved. 5 of the 9 are now saved. Amen. And I pray that, oh God, that you use every single one. We have not because we ask not. It's been long enough we've not been praying. But have you been praying, oh God, give our pastor strength today? It's such a wonderful time to be a pastor building a building, though it's a weighty time. I cannot tell you. It's just like everything is pressed on you. Please, as God's people, lift them up in prayer. I feel like your pastor feels about my people. I feel like them like he feels about like you. My people pray for me so much and for my wife. I know that almost at every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, people are praying for us, children in our church and people in our church and folks that love us and members in our church. And at nighttime, they pray in the morning time, and they'll tell me, I've been praying for you, Pastor. I've been praying for Mrs. Treber. I've been praying for the church. I've been praying for you. Oh, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. It's been long enough. It's been long enough we've not been tithing. It's been long enough. Say, we're giving a building, but are we tithing? It's been long enough tonight that we've not been going soul winning. Must have touched on something there. It's been long enough we've had secret sins. It's one of the greatest churches in America. And this is the Thursday night crowd, so it's the best of the best, but I'll guarantee it. There's some secret sins going on that nobody knows about. I was dealing with someone about something, and they said, you know, I, Pastor, I know you know about this thing, but I'm going to have to get it right because I found out about these things. They always eventually become known. What is the secret sin tonight? Is the secret sin with the television, our computer, our cell phone? Is the secret sin emails to someone else? Is the secret sin someone at the office or someone in the neighborhood? Is the secret, what tonight? It's been long enough. He said, but if I tell him, if I tell her, if I deal with this, who knows the consequences? But there will always be consequences. Because our sin always hunts us down. Be sure your sin will find you out. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. It's been long enough. We walk around at times, and I I'm ashamed to say this because it's a humble church, but with pride, thinking we're something. God tells us in the book of Proverbs that the man of full of pride shall be brought to shame. It's been long enough. It's been long enough. Wait for this one. That our garages, we can't park a car in the garage because of our clutter. So we have to deal with that in 2013.
Right.
Deal with it. Long enough. Long enough that we've not controlled our diet.
Amen.
Long enough that we eat and we gorge. Preachers can't preach on that. We can preach on everything else. Long enough we've not had a savings account. Long enough we've not had a retirement account. Long enough we don't spend time with our children.
Amen.
Long enough we don't go on bicycle rides. Long enough we've carried bitterness in our heart. Long enough I haven't spoken to that relative. Long enough. What is it tonight that's long enough in your life? I know people that have been jobless across America for 8 years and they have no desire to get a job. It's long enough. It's long enough. Go find something to do. Go to a donut shop and say, I'll eat the center out of the donut holes if I can help you. Long enough tonight, as we look at God's word, long enough in blaming our past. And everybody has something. Long enough that I can't be used. I'm not what I should be because of the past. My mother, my dad. Long enough that we're blaming our sin of the past. One of the things as a pastor that grieves me is when people mess up with their lives and then they get it right with God. But because the old devil's an accuser of the brethren, he gets you thinking that you're worthless the rest of your life. That is not true. Let the person in this room who's been flawless and without sin, why don't you stand and come right here tonight? There's not one of us.
Right.
I've done things, you've done things in the past in our lives we all regret.
Right.
I've not done anything to, by the grace of God, disqualify me from being the pastor of a church. But I'll tell you what, friend, maybe you have done something like that. Have you ever heard that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein? And thank God there's forgiveness and all of our sin and all of our iniquity. David said, my sin is ever before me.
Amen.
Yes, but he said, oh, God created me a clean heart. Long enough I can never teach class. I can never be a good Christian. I can never be a good mother. Could never be a good dad. You know my past. You know what I did. You know how I failed. I am not condoning at all immorality. But I'll tell you what. I've watched people commit immorality. And somehow they decided to work at their marriage and put it back together. And I watch some of those men that have committed immorality or a woman that commits immorality become some of the finest Christians in a church. Why? I'm not going down that path again they have in their heart.
Amen.
I'm not suggesting you commit immorality. I am suggesting, friend, and I'm suggesting when someone does wrong and they get to an old-fashioned altar, it's just about an 11-day journey. It's not very far. It's not very far anywhere.
Good.
And they get right with God. Let it be that this great church, Pacific Baptist Church, is a church with their arms wide open and say, come home.
Amen.
Ye who are weary, come home. Amen. It's been long enough that we blamed our past. It's been long enough that we haven't driven a bus. It's been long enough we haven't taught Sunday school. It's been long enough we haven't sung in the choir. It's been long enough that we haven't served God. It's been long enough that we've lived a double life, a phony life. It's been long enough that we've been a gossip. It's been long enough that we've used partiality, James chapter 2, this crowd here against this crowd here. It's been long enough that we've had a proud spirit. I'm going to ask you tonight when you leave to go home and say, in my life, what's been long enough? Already the Spirit of God's telling you something. I don't have to tell you. He's already telling you what's been long enough. Has it been long enough? You and your wife haven't been talking. A man came to my office. My wife and I, she was there. We haven't talked in three weeks in our home. Just the two of us. We haven't talked. She hasn't talked to me. I haven't talked to her. 3 weeks living in the same house. I think that's long enough. God says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. It's long enough you've been picking at your wife, trying to make her what you think she needs to be. You didn't marry your wife to change your wife. You should have done that when you were dating. It's long enough you've been trying to change Ralph, girls. Ralph is Ralph. I'm not suggesting you cannot talk about things in marriage, but it's long enough that it's all day long. Yep. Amen. It's long enough. Amen. Long enough that we haven't spent time with our children. Ms. Traber and I have had such a good journey together. Oh, we've had some difficult days because you know how women are. Women don't think like men. That's the problem right there. You sissies, not one man gave me an amen. Not one man. You left me here to dry out all by myself.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. Amen. Too late, brother. Big sissy. And thank God women don't think like men. Oh, you phony balonies. I said amen, honey. Did you hear me? Yeah. 0 points for you. You just abandoned manhood right there, fellas. It's been long enough in our marriage we've been unkind to one another. My wife and I, we got married. We said, we're not going to let the sun go down on my wrath. There's a whole crowd of us men in my church. We've all been married about the exact same time, about 40 years, all of us. I said the other day, Mark, he's just been married 40 years. I said, Mark, you and Robin have been married 40 years. How's that gone? I said, now just tell me, you've had a good marriage, good kids. Tell me about it. How did it work so well for you? Because, oh, Pastor, it was easy. He said, when we got married, we decided that I'd make all the major decisions and she'd make all the minor decisions. So far in 40 years, I've not had to make one decision, he said. That's a good way, I guess. I want you to know that some things have been long enough. Let's look at this and we're done. Look at verse 3. And it came to pass in the 40th year, I would say the only way you're going to recognize that it's been long enough, you're going to have to recognize it's already been 40 years. 40 years is long enough. It's already been a week. It's already been a month. It's already been a year. Cindy and I, we purposed in our heart, we were not going to go to bed mad. We purposed in our heart we were not going to argue or disagree in front of the kids by the grace of God. I'm certain we had to. I don't remember it. We purposed in our heart we were never, ever, one time going to criticize one person ever in front of our children. Now we get alone, we criticize everybody, but just we said we were not going to have a preacher preach and analyze it and criticize it. We weren't going to criticize people that were cruel to us. And sometimes our kids saw that some people were not kind to us. I had a man one time for 3 years of his life, he got a picket sign, one of our members, and he picketed out front of our church every Sunday morning. It was the craziest thing. My men want to tell you what they wanted to do, but they did. I said, no, we won't do that. Amen. We'll offer them a cup of water a bottle of water. We'll keep our distance. You can't touch them. We never allowed our kids to criticize that. Our kids have seen some things that have been harsh through the years. We weren't going to attack those people. What's been long enough in your life? If you haven't been tithing, it's too long. It's long enough. If you haven't been praying, Ms. Treber and I pray together at night. I do the praying. It just works that way. And by the way, and my wife does want to, but if you have a mate that doesn't want to pray, then don't make him pray. And I'm not suggesting my wife doesn't want to pray. It just works that way for us. I pray. Sometimes it's humorous because I can fall asleep just like that. I mean, I can fall asleep in a heartbeat. And I'll sleep 10 minutes and I'm wide awake. What's next? Let's get going. And there have been some nights, even in recent days, I'll begin to pray. Our Heavenly Father, and thank you so much for the good day and for your goodness. Thank you for I have fallen asleep on her praying just a couple weeks ago. I know, please forgive me. I know it's irreverent. I wouldn't mean it irreverent. I was praying and I said something. I forget how I said it, but it sort of, even when I said it, I said, that's kind of funny how I said that. And it was nothing wrong. I can't remember what it was, but she went, and I felt the bed. I felt that we were all lying in bed when we were praying. I felt like it was shaking. She was trying to hold. She was laughing. I said, what are you doing? I started laughing because and then she started laughing. And then we couldn't even get back to prayer. I know that's maybe not. God knows when I fall asleep. I don't fall asleep all the time. Once in a while, a couple times. And God knows that it probably rejoiced his heart that we as a husband and wife, he'd rather see that than fighting. It's been long enough. Recognize it's been, how long has it been? For these people, it's been 40 years. And verse 7 and 8 tells us that, secondly, do something about it. If it's been 40 years, do something about it. Turn you. Take your journey. Go to the mount of the Amorites. Go do something. Go do something about it. If you're not a soul winner, go do something about it. Amen. I went to an incredible Bible college. I'm so glad God took me there. I grew up in an incredible church before college. And in our church, we saw people added to the church, and it was a growing church, but I never saw anybody saved in my life. I never saw anybody saved at the church, at the altar. Our baptistry was used for Christmas decorations. Then periodically, we'd have someone baptized, we'd clean them out, we'd fill it up. Most churches were like that. We had people get saved in pastor's office, and pastor or deacons went to homes and led people to Christ. I never saw it done. I went to Bible college and I got an A+ in personal evangelism. But the man that taught me to be a soul winner, or was trying to teach me, never won a soul himself. They said you ought to go pass some tracts. I didn't say I wanted to. I said I was so excited. And I started in the cold snow country, and I went and got some gospel tracts and just started knocking on doors. I wanted to be a soul winner, but I didn't know what to do. I'd memorized the verses. I'd memorized the outlines, but I had no idea. I can recall I worked all one summer in the Midwest in a hot summer, and I wanted to be a soul winner. I motivated myself, and I made a list. I remember reading something about Joe Boyd said this one time, and I went and did a a survey in the neighborhood. I said, hello, my name is Jack Treiber. I gave the name of the church. And I said, you go to church anywhere? They said, oh, yes, we go over here to St. Lucie's or St. Joseph's or whatever. I said, well, good. Not good, but that's all. I didn't know what to say. I said, you know what? If you ever like to come visit us, I'm over here from this Baptist church. Come visit us. I didn't know what to say. I was an assistant pastor. And by the way, I was president of the college student body and president of my class and president of the sorority. But I wasn't a soul winner. I helped open a church. I led music. But I didn't know how to win a soul to Christ. And it came a point after 3 years in the ministry, I said, Lord, this is long enough. And I had a layman who worked at the computer field that was just coming on computers in about 1973. He taught me how to be a soul winner, a Hispanic man. I knew he knew how to win souls. Do something about it. And then three, back in verse 2, recognize you're closer than what you think. You're only 11 days away. Some of you are just an altar away from doing something about it. It's been long enough. Father, bless these dear people.